This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Welcome, everyone, to yet another episode of Diagnosing the Aftermarket A to Z. I'm Matt Fonslow, and when I removed the book from the cradle, I did speak all the words. Look, maybe I didn't say every little tiny syllable, but basically I said them. Yeah. So today I kind of want to talk about the evil word profit. But before we get rolling here, let's get a word from our sponsor, Napa Auto Tech Training. Check out our Napa Auto Tech Facebook page to find out the latest Napa Auto Tech virtual class scheduled at a time that is convenient for you. Learn from the comfort of your home. So I caught this YouTube short popped up, and if you want to go check it out, it's called Farmer Does the Right Thing Shark Tank. It features this guy, a farmer, who came up with something called like the tree teepee. All right. And it's to him must have. And I think the sharks themselves bought into this too. Like, this was a very intriguing product, you know, asking a little bit more about it and then pricing. And that's where things kind of go weird. If you've watched Shark Tank very much, and I would not pretend to say I've watched a lot of it, but I've seen enough to know where they think nothing of 800% markups. You know, it costs them a dollar, they're selling it for $8, which many of us probably are doing anyways on, you know, whatever, $0 to $1 cost products or parts, whatnot. In this case, though, it's usually more, right? Quite a bit more. It kind of paints them as being greedy. In this case, I think he was saying like his cost was $3.99 each, and he sells them for $4.99 each. He sells them for a dollar profit, and he had made, you know, sold however many, 1,000. So he made $1,000 in, I think, a day. And this is just off memory. The concern isn't the farmer or the sharks or really the short at all. Do yourself a favor, go look at this. Go into the comments section. Read the comments. It's really concerning to me. I'm not surprised, I guess. And, you know, there's only going to be certain types of people that are comment for the most part. Overwhelming majority of these comments is that, wow, this guy's really honest. He has a lot of integrity because he wants to make a dollar per sale. I guess that's what we're up against, everybody. That is what we're up against. Not just us. I'm, you know, everybody that sells something. That's what people associate honesty and integrity and just being a good person is with making minimal profit. And assigning profit just a really, like, I guess, evil, nefarious, dishonest type of association. It's borderline ridiculous. And you have to wonder, what do any of these people do for a living? I mean, even if you work in a store, you have to understand that the store can't be buying the product for the same price it's selling it. And if it's not making much of a margin on the items, pick on a grocery store, maybe the profit margins on milk, eggs, and bread probably aren't that great. Maybe they are. Maybe that's a bad example. Let's just say they aren't, but they probably make up for it in volume. They sell a lot of it. I don't know that necessarily makes it right, but at least there's a logic behind it. And again, they are somewhat handcuffed by who else is all selling milk and eggs and bread. You know, all the other grocery stores, lots of gas stations, lot of convenience stores all sell these things. So they're a bit handcuffed, right? And that's the way the economy works. That's the way it works. There's nothing fundamentally wrong with that. And then you try to make money on the stuff you can make money on. Well, we're in the same boat, but we also have to fight this one reputation of being just generally dishonest, that we are always taking advantage of people, especially women. That's the reputation. And then on top of that, our prices, we have to fight for our prices. And I don't know that fighting is the right angle. It's educating. And it's really, really difficult to educate in some cases without being condescending. This is the mindset of a great number of people, that you don't need to be making double. You don't need to be making triple. If you can make a few bucks on each thing, that's fine. I'm okay with that. Having no idea overhead, no idea of cost of doing business, no concept of it, at least for our shops. And I mean, back to the grocery store, how many gallons of milk have to be sold to pay that light bill? How many gallons of milk, how many loaves of bread, and how many dozen eggs have to be sold to make payroll? There's a lot of coffee shops I drive by. I have no idea how they make ends meet. How in the world do they sell enough coffee and donuts, sandwiches, whatever, to pay the bills? What is the profit margins on some of this stuff? I mean, I think coffee is probably a good source of income, but man, it might get thin fast after that. And they have payroll. They have as many of the same bills we have. In our town, Red Wing, we have a few shops, if you will, that are trinkets and stuff. How many of these things do you have to sell to break even? Just to break even. And we have people, lots of people wandering around thinking that you just don't need that much. Like there's no ethical reason that you should be buying this alternator for $100 and selling it to them for $200 or $150. They could just as well go to AutoZone or wherever, buy it for $100. And we can talk about how we stand behind it. It's being professionally installed and all this. I don't know if that's enough. You know, value, that's what we're selling is value. That's what anyone's selling is value. Am I getting my money's worth? And that money's worth could be that I feel like this amount of money for what I'm getting back is worth it. Or there are cases where it's the only game in town. I'm almost forced to pay this because there isn't an alternative. Rare, more rare now than ever with internet and online retailers and stuff like that. But nonetheless, that was a thing and is a thing. I don't think that's so much how we want to build our businesses. You know, we definitely want to sell value, but we might find ourselves teaching economics 101, just like their households. They need X amount of dollars coming in to make ends meet, just to break even with their rent or their mortgage. Do they have a car payment, their insurances, all their bills, right? I guess I don't have to list off all the bills. We know what they are. Need X amount of dollars coming in just to cover all that and food and whatever necessities. No money going into savings, no money going into retirement, no extracurriculars. This is basically the least amount of money just to get by till the next paycheck or the next month, however you want to look at it. They operate under those same rules. And yet, it doesn't translate to businesses. It's frustrating and scary to me. I mean, that's scary. NAPA Auto Tech training sessions are being conducted day and night in a town near you. This training caters to every level within your organization, be it a mechanical assistant, a mechanical specialist, a technology specialist, or a driver safety calibration specialist. Imagine a one-stop shop training partner in NAPA Auto Tech that will lead your team to a path to greatness. AutoTech's entry-level Build-A-Tech classes convert the untapped potential of your new hires into money-making mechanical specialists. AutoTech's higher-level tech update classes introduce specialists to the world of ever-changing technologies, which prevents your shop from getting technologically stagnant. Remember, if you're not moving forward, you're falling behind. And, turning to the front of the store, the AutoTech Service Advisor class is an awesome way to hone your client advocate skill set, ultimately benefiting the customer through an improved vehicle repair experience. But it doesn't stop there. Imagine an electric vehicle class that takes your specialist well past the mundane, yet necessary, safety topics. Well, it's here. Autotech's EV Ready Training is a week-long curriculum that takes participants through a hands-on experience involving hybrids and electric vehicles. The session kicks off with the use of PPE and proper tooling while touching on required OSHA regulations. Then, the students dive into the lab vehicles to gain knowledge of the common high-voltage components on EV and hybrid vehicles and their function. Attendees will be taken on a path exposing them to different electric vehicle manufacturers to compare component form and location. Additionally, information about Level 1 and Level 2 charging systems will be included, along with a quick look at DC to DC charging. The operation and maintenance of subsystems are explored, including the different modes of Tesla operations, and so much more. So what are you waiting for? Commit to taking your business to the next level with NAPA Autotech Training. I would urge you to watch the video, and there's nothing special, but then read the comments. I think to me, it was just the overwhelming number of comments going, oh, it's so nice to see somebody that's an honest businessman. And these sharks, they are dishonest. They are, you know, for lack of a better word, I keep coming up with evil or nefarious or just looking to take advantage. Greedy. There we go. Greedy. And yet, really, when it comes down to it, and I think economic theory, there's no such thing. If you produce something that no one else produces, or you produce it at whatever quality or capability that no one else can, whatever price you put on it, that's the price up to the point where nobody's willing to pay it. If nobody's willing to pay it, then you have to adjust. If somebody comes out with something that's similar and prices it lower and people go to start buying them, then you're forced to start adjusting your prices accordingly or finding ways to produce it for less money so that you can lower your costs to reduce your prices, but still make the same amount of profit. And that's the shop. That's how the shop works. If you really need to have your labor rate at just a number, $150 an hour, that's where it needs to be. Everybody else is sitting at 90. You might be able to sell your stuff. You might have the limited clientele and enough of them that you can operate at that and all is fine with the world. Or it becomes an issue filling the base. And you're trying to educate clients about what you do different. Your warranty is so much better. Look at your reviews, trying to sell yourself. And it isn't enough. So now you have to find ways that if you have to lower your labor rate, you can increase your profit margins through whatever operating procedures that speed things up, rearranging the shop, better assigning work to those that are the most capable for that type of work, little things that you can start not advocating to lower labor rates, but this is a situation, a scenario that I think some run into. Some maybe perceive they're in that situation and aren't really. So you do have to do your homework. But in such a scenario, that's the game. And then if you can do that while maintaining those margins or arguably increasing them. So now you've lowered your labor rate a little bit, but because of the efficiency or productivity has gone up, you can raise your rates. And then of course there's educating your competition and finding out, maybe not straight asking them flat out, how in the heck are you doing it, but in a roundabout way. And maybe you're finding out they're not doing so hot, right? Maybe they're not making as much as you think they are, or they would have you think they are. And then if they know what your labor rate is, sometimes that gives them some confidence to bump theirs up, you know, helping remove their fear. But I really think that the whole point of this episode is, how are we going to tackle the association of profit with greed? And I don't know any way around it short of, in the least condescending way, bringing up the logic of just how their household operates or where do they work. You know, we have a factory in town, Red Wing Shoes. Do you think that if it costs them $100 per pair of boots, that they can sell them for $100? They don't. How much do they sell these boots for? you know, oftentimes $300, $200. How much do you think those boots cost to build? Think about all the stuff that goes into it. That big building, the electric bill, the heat bill, which they probably don't really have a heat bill because some of the machines, but you know what I mean? All the personnel that work there, those boots have to contribute to paying for everything. Do the dots start connecting? I would hope so. Profit isn't evil. Profit is not dishonest. Profit is not greedy. It's not doing what you say you're doing. The unspoken agreement between client and repair shop is, in exchange for money, you're going to provide me with a properly serviced vehicle, maintained, repaired, and you're going to stand behind it. And when we don't do that, that becomes dishonest. That becomes greedy. Taking shortcuts, not giving somebody what you said you're giving them. That's where the problem should be. Not, and I'm giving you exactly what we agreed on for a price that I need to maintain, not only paying my bills, but also I got to keep up with new stuff. I have to keep raising incomes because of cost of living and all that. You know, I'm preaching to the choir. But yeah, I hope you get the point of this. I hope there's some seeds planted to think and discuss and come up with solutions, and also just to be aware of this really, really terrible association. And I don't know if the country's always been that way. Some of our elders may be able to speak up about this. You know, if you want to post something on Facebook page, the Diagnosing the Aftermarket Facebook page, or reach out to me if you've got ideas or experiences in the past where maybe people didn't question prices the way they do now, that there was an appreciation for value. And I may have to have an episode on what is leading the charge to this type of thinking. Is it the availability of purchasing things at or near the same prices that we're purchasing them from, and the transparency type of thing? Transparency is usually good, usually, until you misinterpret it or it's beyond your comprehension. And then, man, the Dunning-Kruger stuff kicks in, right? So anyways, I hope you enjoyed this. Please check out that video, and really, really please go check out the comment section. Again, it's called Farmer Does the Right Thing Shark Tank. It's a YouTube short, but you will see a comment section. So if you go check that out, let me know what you think. Thank you, Napa Auto Tech Training, for sponsoring. Thank you to the Aftermarket Radio Network for letting me do this. If you have ideas or thoughts about the show, please don't hesitate to reach out to me, mattfonzelpodcast@gmail.com, or I'm really pretty easy to find on social media. Just ask the hackers. So until next time, take care.
You've been listening to Matt Fonslow, Diagnosing the Aftermarket A to Z on the Aftermarket Radio Network. Follow Matt on your favorite listening app. He's very interested in what you have to say. Let him know what you'd like him to cover and come on the show. Matt is all for advancing the aftermarket. Find Matt Fonslow on social media and connect, or on aftermarketradionetwork.com.